Hey folks, this is Chris Brown. Take a minute to visit stewardship.com and check out the starter special. It's over $160 worth of products for only $47. From books to audio and video lessons, it will help kickstart the plan for your money. Go to stewardship.com for all the details. Now, on with our show.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory. This is a call-in show. Feel free to call in. The number is 866-357-3283. Again, it's 866-357-3283. We talk all about your questions about how to steward this life God's way and for His glory. And not just money, but relationships, and maybe it's leadership, or maybe it's, I don't know, could be a lot of different things. We are entrusted to be managers over all of God's stuff. The Bible says that He is the owner of it all. And so we've got to make sure that we are faithful managers. Before we get started, and as you call in, I want to tell you, I'm thankful, very thankful for you today. Not just for listening in, but what surprised me so far, what a great community that is forming. I didn't know that that was going to happen. You guys are all encouraging each other, and I feel like this true stewardship community is forming, and that's been a surprise to me, a very pleasant one, and to the team as well. The Bible says that we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. And so that's what I'm thankful for today, that the truth of that scripture in 2 Thessalonians 1:3 is so true with this show and with this community. So thank you guys so much for sharing this passion and sharing it with your community, with your neighborhood, with your church, with your families. Of course, we're always trying to see how we can help you more and more here at Chris Brown's True Stewardship. So I've asked the team to bundle a few of our best tools to help you stay on track with your money plan. And we are calling it the Starter Special. And it's available right now for only $47. It includes absolutely everything that you need to get started changing your life and the way that you handle money. I'm not sure where you're at in the journey, but it's very, very important that you have something that can keep you on the right path. Get all the details at stewardship.com. And the reason why I had this little brainstorm for the bundle is this lady named Kathy Ganey, a friend of mine in Pensacola, she messaged me on Instagram, which I didn't even know you could do that. And I think it was like all the way back in January, and I just found it. But she was asking questions on how she gets her son set up with investing. And I went to go answer her the question over social media, and I realized it's not that simple. You can't just take that question in a vacuum and say, here's where you start investing. Because I don't know, her son's name is Joshua, where he's at financially. I don't know if he's got debt. I don't know if he has any savings. I'm not sure if he's getting ready to go to college. I don't know any of the scenarios. So I felt really bad telling him this. And so it's really important that everyone has this starter special. Everyone has it so that they know all of the variables that go into that kind of decision. You can't just make financial decisions in a vacuum. You have to know the whole, the prioritization of what we do and when we do it. And so that's what kind of the heartbeat behind this. Again, it's the starter special, $47. It's at stewardship.com. Again, the call-in number is 866-357-3283, and it looks like we got a call coming in from Seattle. This is Shirley. Shirley, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, I'm honored. How can I help?
I was just wondering about some ideas for how to sell rental properties out of state with tenants in them.
Okay. And you're calling in from Seattle, and the properties are in what city?
Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay. How did that happen? How did you get properties in Memphis?
Well, you know, we're talking about financial smartness and dumbness. we got sucked in went at the height of the market in 2007 into a television guru that said, come to this hotel and listen to my spiel, and you too can be wealthy. Buy this, these properties 1 year, and then the 10th year start selling them, and you'll be a multimillionaire. It's not true, folks. Don't believe it.
Gotcha. Well, that's good for all of our listeners to hear, because we do see those infomercials quite a bit. So do you have a property manager in Memphis?
We do, yeah.
Okay, good. That's good. And these tenants, do you know when their lease is up?
No, there's one coming due in May, July, and December.
Okay. All right. And do you are you already have them on the market? Have you ever picked a have you already picked a broker?
Well, our property manager is also a real estate agent.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, and have you had the conversation with them about possibly listing these properties?
You know, we've mentioned it over the years, like someday we'll sell these, but right now we're upside down. So we're going to have to bring monies to the table. I should add another little caveat. We have also have a rental here in Seattle that we just recently sold. So we'll have some cash from that that we'll pay to sell the ones in Memphis.
Okay.
They're upside down.
And what's your income?
It's about $116.
And let's see. When did you say that you're going to get that cash?
Actually, we're closing Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, Monday.
Is it possible, and I'll tell you, I talked a little bit about the nuances of selling with a tenant in there in a minute, but is it possible to just sell all four properties and be completely out of this and the loss on them all, it not ruin your world, or is it that significantly upside down?
I can give you the numbers if you want, but, because we're selling and making a profit on the house in Seattle, it will most likely, all said and done, if we can make the amount that the comps are coming in at and versus what we owe, we'll owe $18,000 difference.
Okay.
So we'll have enough money to pay that off, bring that money to the table, and then sell the properties in Memphis. So we would love to sell all three of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd strongly encourage that. So it sounds like you have an out, and I'm not sure about the Memphis market, whether you even have a buyer for these properties or not, but assuming that you do, and let's just say maybe it's a 4 to 8 month market, maybe, the way that, and I don't know if this is exactly what you're asking, but maybe how to work through having a tenant there? Is that more specifically your question?
Yeah, I have no idea how to sell with tenants in, and we'd like to not have vacant houses while we're trying to sell it.
Of course. I think first and foremost, this is really good news that you have a broker who's also a property manager, because they're going to know some of this stuff. But first and foremost, before you even go to list it, you've got to know who are you really going to be marketing to. You've got to know whether you're marketing to other investors that are going to be interested in a rental home or a homeowner, because it's going to be two different approaches. In your comments on the MLS, on the multiple listing service, the way that you market the property and what you say in the description, you're going to either market it towards a homeowner or towards an investor. So for instance, if it's towards an investor, you're going to say current tenant already in there, been paying for 2 years, no problems. If it's a, and maybe it's a already replaced the roof, replaced the carpet last year, brand new refrigerator, those kind of things. You know, consistent rent, maybe include the rent amount. You don't have to include the loss or gain, because that's all, dependent on your mortgage. They might not get the same loss and gain that you have. So obviously you wouldn't put that on there, but you can put, hey, $700 a month, been getting it every month for 3 years, you know, something like that. So that would be, you got to know who you're marketing to first. Secondly, depending on who you're marketing, you want to, either way, it sounds like you want to keep the tenant in the home. So you want to make sure that you give them an incentive. They're in the home. You give them incentive to make sure the house is clean. It's great that you have a local property manager to stay on them. When you go to communicate that the house is going to be marketed, don't do it over the phone. Don't do it in written form. Do it in person, so there's an accountability of like, hey, I'm going to come by about every 2 weeks. In your contract, it probably says that you can come by as much as you want. You have to announce it ahead of time. And keep them accountable and have some incentive for them. Say, you know, if the house sells in, you know, such and such months, then I'll incentivize you with something. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's $200 or a great reference or whatever. It could be a lot of different things. So make sure they stay incentivized. And it might be, hey, listen, why we have it on the market, this is what I've done the most as a landlord, is, hey, I know you're paying $700 a month right now. I know it's an inconvenience to keep your house clean and there's showings that come up, but here's how I'm gonna deal with this. I'm only going to accept viewings if I give you 24 hours notice. Nothing with 2 hour notice. I'm not going to do that to you. And then also, instead of $700 a month, I'm going to give you $650 a month. Does that sound fair? And all of my tenants have always been thrilled with that. And they keep the house clean. And I've always had good comments come back. And make sure they know that we do get comments back on how shower ready the home was. So that would be my advice on that. But yeah, I'm all about you getting rid of these. I don't like being a landlord outside of your local area. And I also don't like anyone having rental property before their primary is paid off.
Right.
So yeah. So I think you're on. I think sell all four of them. Get them out of there.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much for the call. And next on the line, we have Paz. She's calling in from Mesa, Arizona. Hey, Paz.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Brown. Well, how are you today?
Oh, I am fantabulous. How about yourself?
I'm very, very blessed. Thank you. I was wondering, I've heard Dave Ramsey mention or advise not to buy a new car. And but is this for people that are in debt? Or does he mean buy a new car with a few miles on it? But I want to make the right decision.
Yeah.
And I want to be informed.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's wise. So, I like that. Mm-hmm. Well, I think you can't, like I said earlier, we can't make a decision in a vacuum. So let me look at your whole financial position first. What kind of savings do you have?
Well, by the end of, by next year, I'll have like $40,000.
Okay. And do you have any debt at all?
No.
Okay, good job. And what about investments?
No.
Okay, you don't know investments yet. And your income?
About $50,000 between my husband and I.
Okay. And you have any kids?
No, we're old. We're retired.
You're not old. You're seasoned.
Yes, thank you.
Here's the deal. This is why I don't like people to buy brand new cars. Okay. These are really big points. So make sure you remember these. As soon as you drive that car off the lot, you lose 25% of the value.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Just like that. Gone. And 4 years later, you have lost 70% of its value. So for me, why would you not buy a car that's not 3 or 4 years old? That's kind of the way because those first, you know, whatever it is, 30 or 40,000 miles, I mean, you still got a lot of age in the car. There's no reason to do that. As you read, you know, any kind of research about millionaires and people who have been successful financially, 80% of millionaires have never owned a brand new car. So there's got to be something behind this where it's just not a wise decision. So we like to encourage people when maybe you're a millionaire is the time where you're like ratio wise, you're like the loss. It's like not even work. It's not even that big of a deal. But from a stewardship standpoint, if you look at this spiritually, if you know something's going to lose that much value that fast, from a stewardship perspective, I don't like it at all, period, ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not wise. So, you know, what I try to do is I try to look for, and I shouldn't say I try to do because I still drive cars that are 10 years old. But if I were in the market right now, what I would do is I'd go try to find something that's 3 or 4 years old that the body style has not changed. And so therefore it still feels very current year, rather than the older model. And that's, you know, every car doesn't change their model body style every year. So that's definitely what I would do. Have you ever heard of Financial Peace University, Paz?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll give you Financial Peace University. And what it is it's 9 lessons that will walk you through saving, through getting rid of debt, which you don't need, through investing, through thinking through all the different things that you need to think about as you build wealth in this seasoned time of your life. So stay on the line, and Amanda's going to get your address. Thanks so much for calling in. Well, that was cool, you know. Listen, here's the deal. If you've got cash and you're wondering, hey, I probably could do this. I could go buy a car. Right now, I've told you guys that I'm in the process of saving up for a house with cash, and so therefore, I do have a lot of cash right now, and I could go buy a very, very nice car right now with cash. But that doesn't mean it's still a good decision. Yes, it's no debt, but it's still not a good decision. There's nothing against nice cars. But it's just not a bright decision to buy a brand new one. It's just not. Well, we all have great intentions to manage our money well, but it's all too easy to let those impulse decisions mess up our money plan. Just remember, it's important to get back on track as soon as possible. And so to help you, our team has bundled some of the best tools in the starter special at stewardship.com. And so this includes over $160 worth of products for only $47 this week and this week only. Here's what's in it. You got the Dave Ramsey's Total Money Makeover and the Complete Guide to Money. You've got 13 audio lessons on MP3, the Deluxe Envelope System, the Dumping Debt DVD video lesson. So you've got some audio and you've got some video, and two of Dave's PDF ebooks. So don't wait to take advantage of this incredible deal. Get your starter special for only $47 this week only at stewardship.com. Well, again, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and the phone lines are open at 866-357-3283.
Thank you for joining us on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now back to Chris Brown and True Stewardship.
Well, Amy is calling in, it looks like, and she's calling in from Louisville, Kentucky. Hey, Amy, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for taking my call. I enjoy learning from your podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. Are you proud of me? I said Louisville.
Yeah, I know, right?
How can I help you?
Okay, so my husband and I are in week 3 of Financial Peace University, and our only debt is our land payment other than our mortgage. We owe $53,000 on it, and we have $15,000 in our emergency fund. But according to the baby steps, we really only need $1,000 and step 1, then pay off all our debt, and then the 3 to 6 months of savings. So
yeah.
Should we apply the other $14,000 of our savings to the land debt and just keep $1,000 in our emergency fund?
Am I reading that maybe you and your husband are not on the same page on this?
You are correct. Yes. Well, we bought 10 acres about a year ago, and I would love to sell the land and apply it to our mortgage, but my husband feels like it's an investment.
And he's right. It is an investment. It's just whether it matches. It's the best scenario for you guys right now. How much is owed on it?
$53,000, and the appraisal was at about $150,000.
Whoa.
We put a big chunk down, and then we had quite a bit of equity once we bought it.
Okay. All right. And how much other debt do you have?
That's it, other than our house.
Okay. And your income?
About $80,000 salary, and then about an additional $20,000 with overtime.
Okay. And what's owed on the home?
We owe $200,000.
And other investments besides this one?
Just his 401k.
All right. And how much is in there?
About $90,000.
And how old are you guys?
32 and 33.
Sweet. Okay. I actually view it as both. It's an investment and it's debt. How much do you have in savings?
$15,000.
So you got baby step 1. Let's just say 2 is done for now. Let me process this. 3. 4, you've got your doing diversified funds and a 401k. 5, do you have any kids?
Yes, we have a son that's 19 months old.
Okay. And are you planning on contributing towards some college funding?
Yes.
So I would make sure I do that. Okay, so I want to not just give you the answer, I want to give you the reasoning.
Okay.
I don't like, it is an investment property, and just whether it's land or it's actually a home, for all of our listeners, I would view this the same way. I don't like you owning an investment that big where that much investment is in one parcel or one thing, like a single stock. That's what it is. It's a single stock of land. And the Bible talks about making sure you spread out your investments. I don't like you having a parcel or real estate investing until your primary is paid off. And so, he's right that it's an investment, and it seems like it's a pretty darn good one. And you're right that it is a debt. So with this scenario, if you're asking me, should you pay it off, I think you should sell this and apply that towards your primary. So I guess you win. I'm on your side.
Okay. I can't wait to share it with my husband.
Yeah. And I'll probably get a call from him tomorrow.
Right.
Are you familiar with our Legacy Journey book?
I have heard of it, but I have not read it.
All right. Well, you guys are doing some really good things with your finances. You got a really good income, and I really feel like you're going to need to read this book, and so I want to give it to you. In that book, it breaks down four phases of your stewardship journey, focusing in on now, then focusing on then, the future. Then you start focusing on us, your beautiful 19-month-old, making sure that they've got the character and the moral background to be able to handle this great inheritance you're going to give to them. And then you start thinking through them, what kind of a ministry you can do throughout the world. And there's these four phases of leaving a legacy. And it walks you through all that. And I think you guys really are going to need that for this next season of your life. So I want to invest that into you and give that to you. So enjoy that book. And again, we thank you so much for the call.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. Bye-bye. And as always, a reminder that you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Here's one right here from Leah. Says, my friend says she's about to do something crazy that would look dumb to the world, but right in the eyes of the Lord. In the last few years, she's job hopped because she has felt called to. And she has thousands in credit card debt and makes $14 an hour. She's adamant that she can't get a different job because God called her there. A friend now offered her a place to stay in South Africa. She feels God is calling her to go. The only way to afford it is via more credit card debt. She doesn't want more debt, but feels forced into it because of the Lord. How do you advise people who feel so led by the Spirit, in quotes, to be wise with their finances while still living out their destinies? My guess is, as you're listening in, folks, that you've probably got some strong opinions on this one. Here's how I process this, and it's pretty simple. I firmly believe that God does not, in quotes, call us to do things that are against his scriptures. The bottom line is Proverbs 22:7 says, the borrower is enslaved to the lender. Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything except for the debt to love one another. Is he calling her to South Africa? He very well could be. It would be very arrogant of me to act like I know what God's thinking. He's an infinite God and I've got a finite mind. But here's the deal. He's not going to call her to do anything that is against the scriptures. And what I sense here is that she's putting a time limit on that calling, saying it has to happen right now. And the Bible talks very much all about acting hastily. This is haste right here. This is not being patient. The Bible talks a lot about being patient. Now, there's other folks of us out there that would hear that from the Lord and would make excuses of why they couldn't go. And she very well could do that. She could make excuses and say, oh, well, I'm not in the financial position to do it, so I can't do it. And I would just say this, resist excuses. Excuses are tools for the incompetent. They just really are. And we're not incompetent, folks. Hebrews 13:20 says, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. He does equip us for the things that he's actually called us to do, for his will. But let's not force situations and say that God made me do it when what we are doing is directly in opposition of what his scriptures say. So that would be my filter, and hopefully that helps out. Well, folks, it has been an honor today. Make sure you take advantage of the starter special at stewardship.com. Only $47 for tools to help you to stay on track with your money plan. And while you're there at stewardship.com, don't forget to sign up for the weekly stewardship.com newsletter. And folks, speaking of God's call on our lives and God's will, let's go out of this broadcast like we started the show, with gratitude, with thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Don't miss this. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So if we're wondering what God's will for us is, it is to be thankful. God bless y'all.